here with Duvan Langford, who is an international speaker for men, working on things like the Men Tour and the Elevation Effect. And yeah, he's really making a big difference in men's lives all across the world. So it's really an honor and a pleasure to have him here and being able to interview him. So yeah, welcome, Duvan.
Yeah, brother, thank you for having me.
No worries, man. No worries. How's things going for you at the moment?
Things are phenomenal. Got a lot of moving parts. I'm really excited about 2018. Got a lot of things in the pot. I'm just sitting over here cooking. Sure, it rolls out in excellence, you know?
Awesome, man. Beautiful stuff. Cool, man. Well, yeah, let's jump right into it. And, you know, like I'm obviously a coach for fathers who've been through a breakup. And, yeah, just really looking forward to getting some opinions from you on how to, you know, maybe help those guys and, you know, connecting with you and your ideas as well. I'm definitely a big believer of, you know, having different ideas from different people and taking the best bits of all of them, you know, and whatever works for you. So, so in your videos and stuff, you know, you talk about solitude and the importance of having solitude in a man's life, in getting clarity on what your vision is. And, you know, I'm definitely a big believer in this as well. The thing is, though, right, for fathers who've been through a breakup, the solitude is so daunting, right? They've gone from like being in like with the family and stuff, kids are running around, and then suddenly it's like everything they have to look at themselves. And it's a very scary thing. So I guess, would you have any like perspective shifts or ideas that might help out these guys, you know, in those times where it's like, I just don't want to deal with myself?
Yeah. 100%. I'll give you, let's start with some perspective too. So just give the audience some ideas. Like I've traveled to, I'm American and I've been throughout America doing this work with men. I've gone to Canada and I've spent time in Australia and I've spent time in India and Africa and Mexico. And I've worked with men from various backgrounds. So it's not just perspective that I'm coming from when I'm about to share. It's you know, a multitude of stories that I've collected and experiences I've collected the last 4 or 5 years. It's been a phenomenal journey of being able to hold space for men and to be able to hear vulnerably and authentically what they're where they are. And when I think of solitude, why I push solitude so much is because solitude is the state of being alone. And most men don't know how to be alone because they think it's lonely. Mm. And I think if you don't learn how to be alone, then you will only ever always be lonely. And so it's just a shift in perspective in that way. And so I think a lot of my healing has taken place when I have spent time with myself and not by myself and have made it a point to understand who I am, what I want, what I dislike, what I desire, what are my dreams, what are my goals, where do I hide, you know, and really living in an exquisite honesty. And so for the fathers who are out there and are going through, you know, deep things, you know, with loss of a partnership or being a single dad or not having access to your children because of circumstance. You know, what I would really say to them to be able to shift their perspective as it means to be alone, it's the greatest gift you can give yourself and your kids. Because men don't spend time alone, what they end up doing is they pass on their wounds instead of passing on their wisdom because they never heal those broken places, never heal those pieces. And it's our job as men to make peace with those pieces.
Yeah. So true, mate. So true. And yeah, I think it happens so often is that men, we in those situations when we don't want to be with ourselves, it's because we've been so focused on everyone else, you know, and we've lost that connection with who we are. We've lost that connection with where we're going and our purpose in this world. And it is actually greater than just being the father, you know, so much more than that. And when you feel like that's all that you have and then you lose it, it's like your world's gone. You know, and I love that idea of, you know, being with yourself because, yeah, you know, you deserve all these fathers and men in general, right? You deserve to do the things that you want to do, right? So, yeah, awesome perspective there. And, yeah, and some other things that, you know, you're talking about is like the masks that men kind of hold on to or have, you know, in their covering the person that they really want to be. And maybe if you could just like kind of run through the idea of like what the masks are for men and how these kind of hold us back from living the life that we want to live.
100%. So I like to think that life is just a series of moments. right? You and I have a moment right now as we interview for this podcast. And as we leave here, we'll have a moment when we go to the gym, and a moment when we eat lunch, and a moment when we connect with our family, and a moment when we walk down the street and stand in line at Starbucks and meet a stranger. It's just a series of moments. And oftentimes, those moments that we have, they alter our identity on who we think we are. We stand in line at Starbucks, you meet somebody, and they compliment you on your good look. So they compliment you on your energy, and you are now processing that and really saying, no, you know, I am a good looking guy. I am in good shape. And so now you're operating from a different place. So it kind of shifts your perspective on how you operate or navigate through life. And sometimes those moments influence and impact our identity. And there could be one moment that actually you take on that identity based on what happened in that moment. And a lot of it happens when we're young kids, especially as boys, we get teased and bullies. You're called gay or you're called soft. And then you, that story plays over so many times that it becomes no longer a story, but your truth. And as people, we operate from what we know to be true. So it's really important that as men, that we don't allow moments that don't serve us to be able to forge and imprint in our identities. And I think for me, I can only speak for myself, I had a lot of moments that have impacted and influenced my identity. I grew up in a household where I was born to a teenage mother. My mother was 16 when she got pregnant with me. And my father passed away when I was 3, another moment. And I was put in foster care in another moment at age 5. And then I experienced sexual abuse in another moment. And all these things affected the identity and who I thought myself to be. And so I was afraid of men. I didn't trust women. And I spent a lot of time alone and felt lonely and didn't know how to navigate life because of those moments. And so those moments, again, how they affect your identity is they cause us to create masks to protect the innocence, to protect who we truly are on the inside. Because if I wear this mask, then they won't see me. And I can never pay a price for who I truly am. I can only pay a price for who I'm putting out there for people to believe in me. And so I think a lot of the masks that I've become familiar with for the men that I work with all around the world is a few things. One is the mask of inadequacy. And just men just feel generally inadequate as dads, as men, as sexual partners, as businessmen. Just generally speaking, we feel like we're imposters. And so if I'm crushing it in business and I'm doing well, I'm making 6 figures, but I'm lonely at night and I'm watching porn and I'm addicted and I'm going to day spas to get a quick release, there's this imbalance or there's this lack of rhythm in our lives. And so we have to put on a mask. Or I have a beautiful girlfriend, but I'm broke financially and I have to kind of figure out how I can provide for her and show up as this powerful man in a relationship when I can't provide for her financially, emotionally, and spiritually. So this inadequacy is a big mask that men play on. Another one is, I call it like the imposter syndrome, right? Where I don't want people to figure me out. So I'm going to put this mask on and play the role at work, play the role with the mates, play the role with my partner. And I'm never myself at any point throughout the day. And I go to bed exhausted because I'm constantly playing the imposter. I'm being what people need me to be for their lives. Another mask is I only feel significant when I'm in power. If I'm not controlling this woman, controlling these employees, controlling my life, then I'm weak. I'm a pussy, I'm a faggot, I'm soft, I'm not enough, I'm not a man, I crumble.
Yeah.
I implode because I'm not in power. And so I have to have this mask of I'm super machissimo and I'm crushing it and I got muscles and I'm doing all these things and it's exhausting as well. Another mask that men wear is it's almost this inability to be alone. So they hang out with everyone and go to everything because being alone means shame, being with guilt, means being vulnerable. And I can't go there because I don't know who I am when I'm there. So I'm going to put this mask on and just go out there and do the dance and put on the show and do the hokey pokey just so that I don't have to be with myself. So there's so many masks that men wear in order to protect ourselves. You know, and it's not just ourselves. I'll go a little bit deeper. The little boy. Men are constantly trying to satisfy the little boy, the desires of that boy. And unfortunately, men don't have ears and eyes for the boy. You grow up in a world where you go through so many moments that cause you to forget about the boy. And when the boy and the man are not in relationship with each other, you show up very disconnected and transactional. So That's something that I'm combating. I've combated within myself, and I've supported so many men globally in that journey.
Yeah, that's beautiful, man. I love it, you know, and yeah, definitely so true for so many guys. And I think something that kind of hit home for me is that, you know, we go through life as men being kind of reactive to the things that are around us, whether it's women that we want to see or, you know, the friends that we want to be with and stuff. And it's not a lot of things, if you really think about it, sometimes it doesn't come from like a really authentic place. You know, it's not things that you really want to do. It's what you think you should do to please others or to, you know, please like your ex or for the mother of your children. And that in itself is a mask, right? You're walking on eggshells when you're at home with your partner because you're scared to make things difficult or something, instead of having like a difficult conversation and be authentic to who you are. And then you start living life based on decisions where it's like for other people, you know, and then you start to resent yourself. And, you know, it's a very downward spiral that can happen. Yeah, awesome. And, kind of going on that, it's like, you know, being fixed in your identity and this identity that we kind of create based on trying to please other people and stuff. You know, many fathers who go through this breakup, you know, their identity is significantly kind of drawn from being a father. That's all I am. That's who I am. And, you know, a lot of their goals are, I just want two kids and a white picket fence and then I'll be a happy man, right? And then when the circumstances change around that, it's kind of like, well, what do I do now? And they struggle to be like, who I am? Who am I if I'm not a father? So what would you kind of give like some advice around the identity and the fluidness of what your identity can be?
Yeah. I believe that men spend most of their life begging for permission to be free. I believe that a lot of men don't talk about these things enough because talking about it makes it real. And I think that men are at war within themselves. And that war is fueling the division of our families, our communities, and the world. With that being said, it's so important for men to find a community, a cohort, where they can communicate the things that are heaviest on their hearts so that they can begin to shift their perspective and to be able to relinquish and to let go of all the limiting beliefs that I'm just a dad. You know, being a dad, in my experience, and my belief system is one of the greatest gifts I think a man can have. I don't have children myself, but if you were to ask me, Javon, what's the one thing that you want to leave behind? It wouldn't be, you know, a nonprofit organization. It wouldn't be, although I will, and it wouldn't be property for my family, although I will. It wouldn't be money, although there will be that too. What it would be is a child. I think that's the greatest gift that you can leave behind and you can pour into and you can challenge this person, this soul in a way that they can create impact in the world and it lives beyond you. And I think so many dads don't understand the responsibility that comes with being a father. And being a dad is not just one identity. There's so many layers and textures and colors to being a dad. You know, and unfortunately, you know, there's being a dad and then there's fathering. There's a big difference. Anybody can be a dad, but being a father, fathering, it's a verb, right? To father a child, to raise a child, to pour into, to elevate the mindset of another individual, you know, to love someone without keeping score. It's a huge responsibility. It's a huge responsibility. And it's easy to lose your identity in that. And what I would say to fathers who have lost themselves and have lost their way on the journey to fathering their children, I would say is the greatest gift you can give to your child is knowing yourself.
Absolutely.
Is knowing yourself. Because if you don't know who you are, how can you pour into this child? How can you invite this child to understand who they are in this world and to be able to develop their own identity? Much of our identity as sons comes from that which we know about dad, you know? So I think fathers who have lost their way, I would say to find a community of people who you can connect with and who can challenge your perspective and cause you to think outside the box, so that you're not passing on only your confusion or passing on only your wounds, but passing on your wisdom and passing on your knowledge that you've accumulated throughout your time here.
Mm. Yeah, and like it's so true about being the best you. The best gift that you can give your kids is being so authentic and connected to the true you as a man, as a father, as a role model, so that you can raise your kids to give them the keys, so to speak, and the access to do that themselves. And I speak to guys all the time where it's like they feel they're burnt out, and they feel that taking any time out of their day for themselves is like a very selfish thing, you know? And it's like, oh, I can't do that. I need to work for the man. I need to, you know, look after the kids every second of the day, that every spare second that I have. And the reality is that the best thing that you can do for your kids is be the best you that you can possibly be, and share the gifts and the lessons that you have, you know, you've had on this journey, and speed up the learning time for your own kids, right? And allow them to, you know, have those lessons in childhood, right? Not even have to go through it as an adult. And yeah, it's a very important like mindset shift that I've definitely had going through this process. And yeah, a big thing that guys definitely kind of struggle with, that idea. It feels a bit too selfish in a way. But you know, I'm a big believer in, you know, you've got to fill up your own cup, so to speak, first, so that you can spill it out to the other people. yeah. And yeah, another idea that I wanted to kind of go through is that, you know, this idea of being man enough. And definitely in Australia, I don't know if you've heard about this, Juvan, but it's like called tall poppy syndrome.
Know all about it.
Yeah? Okay. Excuse me. So yeah, and it's this idea of, you know, be man up. Yeah, you'll be right. Pull yourself together, you know, you'll be okay. Just suck it up, princess, and away you go. You know, and so a lot of men, it's like, well, they'll feel emotional, and then the next thing is it's like, well, let's just be man up. What, be stronger. And what does that even mean? Right. When if I was told that, I'm like, oh, well, does that mean that I just don't show emotion? Does that mean that I just shut down everything that I'm feeling at the moment and just get on with life and forget it, you know? And what would you say is like a very like resourceful way to kind of look at your negative emotions, or, you know, dealing with some traumas that you're going through?
Yeah. I don't think there's a such thing as a negative emotion. I think there are unhealthy stories that we tell ourselves. And men have been sold, I mean, boys are sold this idea of mastering our masculine. And there's being a man, and then there's being good at being a man.
Mm.
And I think we've confused the two, or there's been a lot of blurry lines between the two. You know, being a man is different for everybody. It looks different. You grew up in Australia. I grew up in America. So culturally, there's so many different layers to that that I would probably never fully comprehend about an Australian man. And same for you when it comes to an American man. And that's okay. And the key is us learning to embrace who we are, whether we're operate more in our feminine than in our masculine, whether we're outspoken or we're quiet about the things that matter to us, whether we're athletic or academic focused, whatever that is, it's different. But being good at being a man is what we focus on. This is where our energy is. This is where we're in the gym and we're eating healthy. We're posting on social media. We're getting fresh haircuts and we're out with the mates and we're drinking beer and we're doing all these things to be good at being a man. And it's exhausting. And that's where the masks come into play. That's where the moments that shape our identity, that's when they come into play. And I think we focus so much on this because this is what we see and hear. We have a lot of eyes and ears. Our eyes can see and hear these things, because it gives us a guiding post. There's a guidepost here. If you do this, then you're a man. So there's a criteria here. So we go where there's already structure. But being a man it's something that you choose for yourself. Like for me, I know personally, there's, you know, there's feminine energy and there's masculine energy. I operate more in the feminine than the masculine. Mm. And it's something, it's this dance that I'm constantly in, but I know why that is. Mm. And I've learned to embrace that. I grew up in a household with a lot of feminine energy. I have four sisters. I have a grandmother and a mother. I had no dad in the picture. I had one uncle who was in my life consistently. And then as I grew older, men would show up, mentors, and I begin to garner relationships with them. And now I have brothers in my life that I've chosen. But I know that's who I am, and I embrace that, and I don't hide that. And I don't run from that anymore because it's who I am. And when I honor that, the people who can see me and hear me for who I am will show up. And so we resist so much on who we are, and we wear the mask, and we put on the show, and we do all this extra shit, and it's exhausting. So I think if we can understand and that it's important for us to create our own criteria as to what it means for us to be a man as men, and go by that, create an agenda of your own and abide by that, make your own rules and follow them. Excuse my French, but fuck the rules that have been established by society and by the music industry and by all the other industries, entertainment and film, and to create one of your own. This is why community is everything, Malar. It's so important that we have community of people who see and hear us. We grew up as boys, and we thought two things: to be heard and to be seen. That's all we wanted as boys and young ladies, but men specifically. And we didn't have that. We didn't find that at home. So we have been seeking that in relationships. We've been seeking that in the workplace. We've been seeking that with our mates. We've been on this pursuit of perfecting the masculine, and we've lost ourselves in this process. And I feel a huge duty and responsibility to be able to support men in this journey and shifting their perspective. And as I go through my own, and I joke and I say, you know, I'm not coaching. I never thought that I would coach. I played sports. I was in entertainment, did modeling and acting, digital media, you know, brand identity. I love that stuff. That's like one of my passions. And I got into coaching, not because I have all of the answers, but rather because I have a story that I have chosen to be exquisitely honest about, and it overflows with solutions. And so as I shared, and I've become fluent in English and Spanish, and then ultimately vulnerability, a lot has changed. And people have come to me and asked me to support them. And it lights me up to be able to see someone experience just an inkling of the personal freedom that I have over the last 5 to 7 years. So I know that what makes me different is when I make this human content on YouTube and I'm putting videos on Facebook, I'm not doing it for the building of my audience. That's very clear. I don't have a quote unquote huge 100,000 following, but the people who I am serving, the results speak for themselves. Men are reconnecting with their kids. They're losing weight. They're quitting smoking. They're building businesses. They're making money. They're leaving their jobs. They're shifting the community. They're starting nonprofits. They are crushing it in life because of the work that I know that I'm putting in here. So the men that I'm committed to serving, it's not a short game for me. It's a long game. I intend on doing this for the rest of my life. Mm. And I intend on supporting women as well. But I feel that a big part of my calling, a big part of my purpose, the tag that was on this shirt when I was put on this earth, was to really redefine what it means to be a man. And so a lot of the work that I do, a lot of the energy that I put out there is focused on shifting the conversation, because I feel that most men, a lot of men, or men in general, are the issue. They're the issue. We are the issue. Me, I, us are the issue. And the world is dysfunctional because our men are. And we're hurting because our men are. And we're losing because our men are. I believe that it begins and ends with the men. And as a man, I'm something of an expert on being a man. And I just feel a huge responsibility. And so that's why I'm doing this work. And this is why I would strongly advise men to find a community. Find a community.
Mm. Yeah, so true. And yeah, definitely, you know, in this day and age, I think it's a little bit scary in a way for men to be a man, because the idea of masculinity has kind of been a little bit warped, I think, from, you know, with the media and, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's like kind of like, well, I don't want to fully embrace who I am as a man because I feel like I'm not allowed to. I feel like there's going to be repercussions But the true masculinity in its grounded, beautiful, you know, kingness, if you will, it's such a beautiful, like, grounded energy, right? And I love what you're talking about there about, you know, what's your unique expression of that, you know? And like, if, like you were saying about me growing up in Australia and stuff, you know, there's here, it's kind of like, if you're a man, you play footy, you drink beer, and, you know, you play sports, and that's kind of what it is to be a man in ways. And, you know, you don't, it is a definitely an effort, like you were saying, you know, to put on that thing and have to live up to what, if that's what, you know, society is telling you to be. And I'm definitely a huge believer in being like, well, what's your unique expression, man? What's real for you? Because, yeah, you know, your experiences in this world and this life has been so unique to you. So use that, you know, use that, lean on that. You know, like for you, you're probably more, like you're saying, more on your feminine. That's like beautiful, you know? And again, that's got to be balanced with the masculine, but everyone's got, like, based on their experiences, there are going to be things that are more easy for them to be aligned to. And then there are definitely going to be things that are more of a challenge, and that's cool. But you need to be you need to know where you're starting off, you know, where, what is unique for you? What's easy for you? And do that, you know, don't feel like you have to put on that mask. Yeah. Definitely. Cool. And, the last question I've got for you, mate, is around stress. And it's about stress of not producing the results that we want. And, you know, this can happen for many, many fathers or many men as well. It's like, well, I just feel like I just can't get that goal, or things just aren't working out the way that I want at the moment. And men get stuck in a rut, you know, struggling to get these results. And it feels like they're going around and around in circles. And what would maybe be like kind of three big tips that you could give these guys to find the results that they want?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I focus on when I work with men is self-education. It's very important that you take the time to be alone with yourself and to educate yourself as to where you are. A lot of men don't know where they are. And I'll give you a more concrete example. If I am on the corner of 6th Avenue in Maine, and I call an Uber or a taxi, and they say, well, where are you, mate? And I said, oh, I'm on Maine and 2nd. Yeah, I'm on Maine and 2nd. And I lie about where I am in this moment. The vehicle that is intended to get me where I desire to go will never arrive because I wasn't honest about where I was. And so many men are depressed, addicted to porn, cheating on their wives, you know, lonely, you know, going through, you know, drug abuse, on sex campaigns, they're going through so much in the dark. And they don't have a community or a comrade, a confidant that they can just be exquisitely honest with. And because of that, there's no feedback. There's no one else here in their mind. And so they're in this conversation with their inner critic that's crushing them daily. And when that happens, you can never experience that personal freedom. And so the biggest thing that I would say is take the time to self-educate. What that's going to do is it's not going to increase your income, although it will. It's not going to give you more time, although it will. It's not going to make your relationships phenomenal right away, but it will eventually. What time with yourself is going to do, it's going to create room. The only reason we're not where we want to be as men is because we don't have room for the things that we say that we desire, the love, the lifestyle, the freedom. We don't have room for it. It's not money, time, or people. It's room. We don't have room. And I can speak on that for days on end. The second thing that I would invite as a tool is to spend and invest time on self-healing. You got to heal. Once you understand where you are and you can be honest about it, then you got to do the work to heal. Go to a workshop or a training. Take on a coach. Listen to a podcast. Join a mastermind. Do something where you're going to be in a community where you're going to experience healing, mind, body, and soul. You got to heal those places. If not, you'll be another dad who passes on his wounds instead of his wisdom. And the third thing is, what we all desire is to produce results. And so those men who are listening and want to self-generate and want to be able to generate a business, generate income, generate a relationship, generate the life they desire to live, a big part of that, a huge part of generation, is to be able to create clarity. Clarity, clarity, clarity. So everywhere I go, I always have a stack of white paper, and I always bring a Sharpie marker everywhere that I go. I'm constantly taking notes. Ideas come to mind, I write them down. And, you know, I grew up going to church as a kid, and one of the verses in the Bible says, write the vision and make it plain. And you got to put it, a pen to paper, and write it out. If you don't get to say you don't know. Is it, once you're a dad, once you've brought life into this world, I don't know are three words you just don't get to say anymore. You can't afford not to know anymore. Mm. You can't afford not to. You got to find the answers. You got to figure it out. You got to live your life based on results. And so those are the three things that I would say that are more tangible. And how you do that last thing is by getting a piece of paper, getting a pen, and writing it out and figuring it out, researching. You know, men say, I want to be a coach, or I want to be a trainer, or I want to be a painter, or I want to be an artist, I want to be a musician. If you want to be a painter and there's not paint in your fingernails, bullshit. If you want to be a musician and you don't own an instrument, bullshit. If you want to be a dad and you're not dating and trying different things and going to different events to connect with different people, bullshit. It's about the result. It's about the result. And so I would invite every man who listens to this to live your life based on results and understand that those who will get up early, stay up late, listen to podcasts, join masterminds, take on coaches, read, and then read some more. Those who will win. Mm. They just win. This is how this thing works. Some have a strong will, but most men have a strong won't. They just won't.
Mm. So true, mate. Yeah, and I've really resonate with the second one, the thirst for knowledge, right? Seeking out the answers, because what happens is like we get into what with many guys is we get married, all right, cool, relationship done, have a couple kids, right, kids done, that area of my life's good, I'm on cruise control, baby. Now I'm just gonna like pay off the house and I'm good, you know. And it's very easy to get caught up in that that maintenance mode, or that like just being chill and not feeling like you have to learn more. But you constantly should be learning, constantly should be feeding your soul, feeding your mind, feeding the person that you are and developing who you are constantly. It's never ending, right? There should never be an end to that, like thirst for more knowledge. And it's so funny, like what you're saying about, you know, if you have kids and you don't know the answer, it's like, well, you better find the answer. And I remember when I just had kids, I was like, kids were about one, and we had our car, like our first like family car, and something went wrong with the car. And then I was just like, well, all right, I've got to start learning about cars then. You know, like before that, I'd never, you know, really looked under the hood or anything, but now I'm learning about like head gaskets, about, you know, the coolant and all this kind of stuff to try and just fix up the car if I can. And it's kind of cliche about, you know, the dad who knows about the car, but, you know, the thing there was that I was like, well, I need to learn about this. I need to kind of get this, because I know I want to be able to teach my kids about car, the basics of the car. I don't want my daughters to be like, oh, I don't know how to change a tire and stuff, or how to like change the water and stuff. Because I'm like, well, you know, I want to teach them this stuff. So just purely out of being a father, I was like, well, I need to learn about the car. Yeah, awesome stuff, mate. Cool. So yeah, thanks for jumping on this interview with me, mate. It's been awesome. I think you've got some amazing ideas, and things will definitely help out a lot of guys out there. And so for the people listening or watching on this one, what's kind of the best way to find out about you and your movements and things like that? Because I know you do a lot of traveling and stuff.
100%. So you can find me online at JavonLankford.com. You can follow my journey in photos and my quirky, funny, goofy antics on Instagram at Javon Lankford. I tweet every now and again on Twitter, but everything's at JavonLankford.com or at Javon Lankford, and you can find me on social media. And, you know, as I continue to grow and evolve and release my book in September, which I'm really excited about, and return to Australia in November for my men's work, I just want men to understand one thing, that what you've been through, or what you're going through in this moment, rather, is not your fault. We've all experienced moments that have caused us to forget who we are. However, it is your responsibility to heal the broken places and to make peace with the pieces that is you. And I just invite you to do whatever it takes to find at least one person in your life who you can go deep with, and to find it in yourself to give them the parts of you, the homeless places that you don't want no one to see or no one to know about. Give it away. Take it from the dark and put it in the light. And I can promise you that in those moments, it will get easier. It will become effortless. And you'll begin to understand how powerful you truly are. And you'll create room in your life, so much so that you'll step into your vision in a way that you never imagined. And I can only say this because this has been my experience. And so don't play small. Don't hide out, especially if you're a father. You have a huge duty and responsibility to pass on your wisdom and not the wounds. So, Kalai, thank you so much. Kalai, thank you so much for having me on here and supporting me, brother, and allowing me to share my message. Thank you for the work that you're doing for men in Australia and globally. And I look forward to collaborating with you in the near future and maybe jumping on here again with you and not too soon.
Awesome, man. Can't wait. Sounds good. Appreciate the words. Very powerful stuff, guys. Check out Jovan. He's an absolute weapon. Awesome. Talk to you soon, guys.
Like that. I'll take that.
Cool, man.